I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. We're in our second week of a three-week series in which I hope to express my love for UPC, my prayer for UPC, and my hope for UPC into the future. And we're gonna attempt to move through this morning Philippians chapter 1 with a little less tears than we did last week. And we're gonna turn our attention away from the past, and we're gonna look this morning and next week towards the future in much hope and anticipation of the Lord and of His continued work amongst His church here at UPC. Last week, I shared just how dear UPC has become to us. For the past 16 years, I've had the privilege not only to share the gospel with you, but to share my very life. And the greatest joy of ministry has been just that, walking alongside you, sharing the highs and the lows of our life together. And there are many things that I appreciate and love about this church, many things that I want to see continue and even grow. I love your passion for the gospel. I love your faithfulness to Scripture. I love your reverence in worship and your commitment to pass the gospel down from one generation to the next. And this morning, I want to pivot from those things and look at Philippians chapter 1. As Paul prays for the church in Philippi, he not only celebrates who they are and the partnership in the gospel they have experienced, but he prays for them as he recognizes they and he are not yet there. They haven't arrived at the place in which God desires them to be. And so we look this morning at Philippians chapter 1 and we join Paul in his prayer for the church. Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, for the glory and praise of God. Well, last week we joined our ministry partners in Ankara, Turkey, on a Zoom call during the Sunday school hour. And one of the things that struck me was not only that we had the opportunity to pray for them, but we heard from them how they are praying for us. The week before that, we were joined in worship by one of our missionaries, Dan and Becky Young, who are back to see their son and daughter-in-law, and time again over the week that they were here, they continued to express their love for this church and how fervently they are praying for you. I've received phone calls from other presbyters, pastors in Albuquerque, El Paso, Las Cruces, all expressing their love for this church and assuring me that they are praying for UPC. I've heard, as many of you have, from former members of our church. And the significance of this shouldn't be lost on us. We have brothers and sisters around the globe, across the country, and in this city who are praying for us right now. Even as we pray for our brothers and sisters, even as we think about City Church in Albuquerque, Grace Covenant as they prepare for their own transition, we as the body of Christ lift one another up in prayer. And in doing so, we follow the example of the Apostle Paul, who continually, time and time again, without ceasing, prayed for the churches that he knew and loved. The Apostle Paul opened almost every single letter that he wrote with a prayer. And one of those prayers is found right here in Philippians chapter 1. He not only expresses how thankful he is for the Philippians' partnership in the gospel, the fact that even when he was imprisoned, these saints continued to support him, to stand by him, to proclaim the gospel alongside him. But he prays for them. And I want us to notice two things in this passage this morning. First, why Paul prays for the church. And second, how Paul prays for the church. Why does Paul pray for the church in Philippi? Why does Paul pray for any and all of the congregations that he prays for? Well, first, because he knows that they haven't arrived. God has begun a good work in them, but that work isn't over. They have plenty of room to grow, and they're not there yet. And they're not alone in that. In fact, Paul, the apostle, recognizes that in his own Christian life, he has not arrived. Though he's an apostle of Jesus Christ, though he's confident that he's forgiven of his sins, covered in the righteousness of Christ, he knows that he hasn't yet arrived. There's room in his life for growth, maturity, and change. You heard this in chapter 3. As he talks about his own desire to continually press forward to the upward prize of Christ. Forgetting what lies behind, Paul, the apostle, is constantly straining forward. UPC, I want you to be a church that is constantly straining forward. Looking ahead and desiring what lies in the future. Hope you celebrate what lies behind. Hope you give glory to God for what he's accomplished through this church in the past. But the last thing that I want is for you to get stuck there. Strain forward to what lies ahead. Allow God's faithfulness in the past to propel you into the future. But second, Paul prays for this church not only because he knows that they haven't arrived, but because he recognizes that they can't get there on their own. And again, the Apostle Paul uses himself later in this letter as the model. He confesses in one place that apart from Christ, he can do nothing. And in another, through Christ, he can do all things. The apostle's strength was found in his weakness. His strength was found in his dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. And UPC, our greatest strength is not the gifts that God has given us, but the dependence that we individually and collectively feel and know and confess in him. The more we feel our own weakness, the more we depend upon him, the stronger and the healthier we are. But finally, Paul prays ultimately, not just because he recognizes that the church has room to grow and they can't get there on their own. He prays because he's confident that the Lord will take them there. He knows that God is at work. You see this in verse 6. It's the very heart of our passage this morning. The apostle confesses, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. This is why Paul prays, because he is confident that the Lord will continue the good work that he began. Beloved, this is my prayer and my hope for UPC, that God will bring the work that he began to completion. In the day of Christ Jesus, a completion that we know will not come until the Lord returns or calls us individually home. God's not done in your life. Personally, he's not done at UPC. And I think two of the most dangerous things that we can believe individually or collectively is that on the one hand, we don't need to change. And on the other hand, that we have the power and capacity within us to change. And both are rooted in a form of pride. But humility leads us to depend upon the Lord, to confess that only he and the power of his Spirit can continue to change us and sanctify us and mold us more and more into the image of his Son. He who began a good work in you will carry it to completion. 63 years ago, a group of men and women desired to plant a gospel-preaching church in Las Cruces. It was the final church planted in the Reformed Presbyterian Church General Synod. In the early 80s, UPC entered the PCA through a process of joining and receiving. And since that time, UPC has helped to plant two daughter churches right here in Las Cruces. Numerous churches across the Southwest. We've seen the formation of RUF at New Mexico State, at UTEP, at UNM, and sent dozens of men and women off to seminary and to serve around the globe. And some of you have been here from the inception of this congregation. Others of you are very, very new, perhaps some even visiting this morning for the very first time. And my prayer is that UPC will flourish for another 63 years. But in order to do that, we have to confess, we have to know, we have to believe that we aren't there yet, that we never were 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 40 years ago. And we have to have the humility to know that we can't get there on our own. We have to depend on the Lord. And the more desperately and the more passionately that we live in and we live out that dependence, the stronger and the healthier we are. God's not done at UPC. And that's why I pray. That's why numerous brothers and sisters around the globe and around this city pray for UPC. I want us to notice in this passage not only why Paul prays for the church. I want us to recognize how he prays for the church. He prays that they would change, that they would mature, and that they would grow in four particular ways: in their love, in their wisdom, in their holiness, and in the commitment that they have to their mission. First, Paul prays that they would grow in love. Look at verse 9. He prays that their love may abound more and more. UPC, I pray that your love may abound more and more. That you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ for you. A love that surpasses understanding. And as you come to know the love of God in deeper ways, I pray that you would also demonstrate that love in deeper ways. We aren't there yet, and there's always room to grow. So my first prayer is that your love may abound more and more. Your love for God would abound, and your love for one another would abound. But second, I pray that your wisdom would grow. Paul prays next that the Philippians would grow in their knowledge and all discernment. You know, we don't know everything. We have room to grow. There are parts of our thinking, our theology, that need to mature. Perhaps that's the hardest thing for a Presbyterian to confess. We like to believe that we have all the answers. But there are areas where we need to grow and mature in our knowledge, in our understanding. And this attitude, this sort of humility, should return us and force us time and time again back to the Word of God. And back to the Word of God in such a way that we don't approach it in order to confirm what we already believe, but approach it with humility in order that God's Word might be constantly shaping who we are, how we view ourselves, and how we understand the world around us. But it isn't simply a prayer for knowledge. It's a prayer for discernment. The apostle wants to make sure that we don't simply understand the right things, that we know the correct information. He prays that we would grow in discernment. Be willing to know how to use the information we have. Be willing to reevaluate what we do and why we do it. Be willing to test and retest everything against the Word of God. You know, one of the cries of the Reformation was Semper Reformanda. It simply means always reforming. It's a mindset that emphasizes the need for continual evaluation, continual adaptation, continual improvement, and continual faithfulness to the Word of God. The phrase is meant to make it clear that the Reformation isn't just a one-time event, but an attitude, something that the church must always be busy about. Third, Paul prays that the Philippians would grow in holiness. What's the result of their increased wisdom and love? Well, look at verse 10. So that you may approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Beloved, I want you all to grow in holiness, to be pure and blameless before the Lord at His appearing. And again, I'll say that we're not there yet. None of us have arrived. We all have room to grow. We battle daily against the world, against the flesh, against the devil. We have an enemy that prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He will sow seeds of division. He will tempt us with lust and greed and bitterness. And we must resist him. But we can't resist him on our own. And so the Apostle John reminds us that he who lives within us is greater than he who is in the world. We must put on the whole armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. Pursue personal holiness in the strength of Christ. I pray that God would transform your heart and your mind. You know, it could be so easy to fixate on the failures and the sins of others, but each of us is called to do battle against our own sin, our own shortcomings, and to put to death the lust and the greed and the pride and the fear that we find in our own hearts. I pray that each of you would grow in holiness, that every single one of you might be pure and blameless at the coming of our Savior. But finally, I pray that you would grow, UPC, in your mission. Paul prays in verse 11 that the Philippians would be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Even while you strive for personal holiness, I pray that you would know that your righteousness does not come from you. As Christians, we are men and women who possess the righteousness of another. We've been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And our standing before the Lord, our acceptance with our Father in heaven, is not based on the things that we do. It's based fully and completely on the work that Christ has accomplished. Not only has He paid the penalty for our sins, but He's clothed us in His righteousness. But this righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Christ, bears fruit in the life of God's people. One commentator says this: the fruit of righteousness is the very mission of the church. He's expressing the idea that those who are clothed in the righteousness of Christ are also called and sent to be servants of Christ. Those who are saved by the blood of Christ are commissioned as his ambassadors. Those who are brothers and sisters in Christ are also partners in the gospel. UPC, you have a mission. And that mission is quite profound. You are called to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all that Christ has commanded you. That call to make disciples of Christ should guide and direct everything that we do. I pray that that mission would be your focus in the future. That you would be faithful, not only to get the gospel right, but to get the gospel out. To take it to the nations, to our neighborhood, to the next generation. UPC doesn't exist for you. In order to meet your needs, UPC exists. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ exists for those who are not yet here. It exists to call and to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your purpose is to serve others and to bring the message that you hold so dear into the life of others. UPC, I pray that you would have the courage and the conviction to go, to follow where God's Spirit may lead. You haven't arrived, and God isn't finished with you. I don't know how God will change this church, but I hope that you are open and sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would be willing to take risks. Don't grow comfortable. My temperament is to gravitate towards safety, towards stability, to maintain what exists. I struggle to think outside the box to promote change. And that's not good for UPC. I want to see you change. I want to see you grow. I want to see you flourish. But change is never comfortable, and change is never easy. It requires hard work. It requires much love and forbearance. It requires effort. And most of all, faith. The Lord brings the greatest amount of growth and sanctification in our life during seasons of difficulty and change. When I come back to UPC, I don't want to see the same church. I want to see a new church, a different church, a church that's moving forward in mission. I want to see a church that continues to cherish the gospel, that remains committed to God's word, that's reverent in its worship, but is faithful to the Great Commission, committed to the next generation, a church that's creative and vibrant, a church that makes room for others and is intent in passing the gospel and leadership down. God's work in your life, individually, and God's work in our life, collectively, won't be done until Christ comes again. We're not there yet. But I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you, he will carry it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. Would you join me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we do rejoice